The long-awaited return.
Oh, we're talking
about that.
Man.
Oh, my goodness.
We got so much because we missed a week.
It feels like longer, doesn't
it? It's like
we
saved it up.
Yeah. Yeah, guys, I apologize for us not... I actually recorded a little intro and did not use it. I was going to put out a... I asked a friend. I was like, hey, if we put out a throwback episode, will you listen? And she was like, no.
No, because people that really listen rabidly.
Yeah.
They want to hear the new.
Rabid listeners, we call them.
You might catch like a brand new person that would think the throwback episode is their first episode.
Yeah,
but then they would be like, "Oh, they're talking about," because we're very topical now. I don't think we started out as topical, but we became a very topical podcast. So some of these date us.
Yeah,
especially the COVID ones. I think every podcast that talked about COVID regrets it now because when in the early days you're like, "Oh, this will be a couple weeks." Like you're saying things in the moment that feel right.
I don't know. I mean, it's still going. I don't think anybody... I think you're out of touch if you don't talk about it.
I guess, but it's like we made a lot of like hard and fast... I remember saying on one of the episodes something about like when the 50 states... Because all the governors had their own states' rights. That's how America works. So these governors were, I'm opening. I'm not. We're going to do that. And I was like, this will be so interesting. It's like 50 experiments are going on and we're going to learn from you. I don't know what I was thinking. Like,
no.
What idealistic... tripe was that? Like, I just thought, oh, it'll be great. And it so wasn't. We just, the states that were wide open, we like called them murderers, and the states that closed down, we called them fat. I'm saying like
that's
Americans.
What do,
yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, we're terrible to each other.
Yeah.
And we can twist the data to make it say, you know, oh, it's clearly, you know, people are like, clearly Florida was, we don't know. We don't, we're, and that's my favorite too, is like now people just go, you're going to do this in the middle of a pandemic. And I always say, please don't tell me we're still in the middle. You think we're still in the middle? I hope we're on the tail end, don't you think?
Yeah.
People want to say in the middle, like they never wanted to end. Like, we're still in the middle of a pandemic.
Yeah, you do.
You want me to go out and get you a bowl of mashed potatoes in the middle of a pandemic? Like, anything you don't want to do, you just say in the middle of a pandemic.
Yeah. So say, you want me to mop these floors?
In the middle of a pandemic?
I don't think we should be
doing that. That's irresponsible behavior.
Yeah, we got to be a good steward of this. No, I mean, I think it's, you know, again, it's not like Georgia ever launched missiles against Michigan or whatever, although they probably would if you let them.
But the Michigan-Georgia Cold War goes on.
Oh, my goodness. No, it's so funny. We were talking at lunch today, so I'm doing some genealogy research.
Yeah.
And you were talking about how...
Which is the research of blue jeans.
Right. Genealogy. Am I right? No, it's the research of genies,
yes.
Actually. You only get three wishes. You can't get...
That's interesting. A lot of lamps in your home as you did your studies.
You can't ask for more wishes, Johnny. It's the number one rule.
Let me just say something about it, because Lamp reminded me and I'll forget. So my buddy, Larry.
Larry Lamp.
No, Larry the Lamp Marshall. He's a guy who I've done several events for. Incredible pastor out of Zanesville, Ohio. And I've known him from some youth events I did at Kentucky Christian University. And he's a tremendous guy. But what he does is a side hustle / he raises money for missions with it. He builds and has an Etsy store where he sells these lamps that he builds out of like cigar boxes and random other stuff. And he puts these little Edison bulbs on, like the warm glow. You know, you have some lamps, they're like bright, they kill you. But then they have these Edison bulbs now. They're all like intricate little filaments in them, and they're really interesting looking. And and he has dimmers on. Anyway, he's gotten really good at these lamps over the years. So I must have bought 10 lamps from Larry over the years just to Christmas. I've never given you one.
Yeah.
Which I probably hurt you deeply.
Here's
the thing about you. You have a very specific sense of style, as does Laura. So
if I give you
a lamp, I don't know if it'll be like, it's a thing where you're like, Johnny's coming over. We got to put out that dumb lamp. You know, like if you buy somebody a sweater, then they have to wear it.
A lamp like that would go into this
office.
When they
see you.
Okay. It would be an office.
Okay. I bought one for Tim for the bus, and he said it's his favorite thing. It was his favorite thing on the bus. But he could have just been saying that, but I don't think so.
Right. Every time you came in there, he's like, yeah, we'll put that stupid lamp out.
They are awesome lamps. Anyway. So I've bought a bunch, but then Larry actually made me one and sent me one. So I'm endorsed now, evidently.
Wow.
My first freebie lamp came. He's making ones out of like a quart. It's a quart paint can. Okay. And then he puts a sticker. The sticker on the paint can is like, it's a power tee. So it's a Tennessee Vols paint can with out of the top of it is a Edison bulb. So when you touch the lamp, anywhere on the lamp, it goes to three levels, like, you know, little and then medium and then brighter, and then off. So
it's a touch lamp.
It's a touch lamp out of a paint can.
Wow.
And they're so cool, and it's a perfect gift. So if you're go to Etsy, search on Etsy for the Foothills Collective. That's Larry's store, and I just want to say he makes great stuff. I have a million of his lamps. I have probably four of his lamps in my house, and I've probably given away about another six. And they're great, so go check him out.
I feel like that we should have made Larry a sponsor, because you just
He basically did. Is. He's a sponsor without, but he sponsored me. I received the only for kickback.
We should have Larry, but Larry, we could write up a... You know, yeah. Guys, before we finish, before the next thing, we want to talk to you about, what's that, what are they called?
And they have...
Foothills.
The Foothills Collective.
The Foothills Collective. Our friend Larry, you know,
unique,
the only,
one of a kind lamps.
These are the only lamps that we buy.
Yeah. Anyway, so genealogy. Get back to your genealogy.
Wow.
Foothills Collective. But.
Wow. Foothills Collective. Yes, go check it out. So we were talking about genealogy.
Yeah.
In that I found a cousin in Florida that I'd never met before. I found him on findagrave.com.
Okay.
Okay.
Hold on. I have questions.
Okay.
How did you just end up on find? This is a website called findagrave.com.
Yeah.
Did you do a Google search for like genealogy and find a grave came up, or were you just like, I don't know.
I wonder if there's a grave.
Find a grave.
I don't remember exactly how I got there. So I hired a genealogist. Okay.
Yeah.
And I had her do a little bit of work. And then when I was doing it, I had some pictures I already had of like my great great grandfather's gravestone. And then I began searching, I think, because his name was Christopher Columbus Driver. Okay.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. So Columbus, and he went by Clum.
Hmm.
Yeah. That's a DeKalb County, Tennessee. Okay. Clum Driver. All right. So Clum. So it's actually great to search because there's not a lot of Columbus drivers out there. You know what I'm saying? So that's actually the obscure name really helps with the searching.
In DeKalb County.
Right. So when I was searching, like, and I found that image, I probably looked for image of, and then I began finding other driver images, and that's where I came across findagrave.com. And then I saw this picture was put up there by a guy whose last name is Driver as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he had an email connected to it. So I emailed him. He's like, oh, I have all this stuff. And he like, suddenly we opened up the cornucopia.
Right.
Of driver family research. Like I have the things I've been looking for years, all the way back to the 1500s in England. So like I know in theory all the way back, you know, I mean, so anywho, he sent me this stuff and he sent me another picture. Mm-hmm. And it was a guy named John Irving Driver who died in 1865. He was a cavalryman officer for the Union.
Okay.
Okay. And then so he would be my great, 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 great uncle. All right.
Mm-hmm.
So this is Columbus's great uncle, I guess would have been. Yeah. Well, Columbus's dad was also named John, who was my great, 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 great grandfather. So that guy's nephew. He died 1914, but his gravestone says he was a private for the Confederacy.
Oh, wow. So it really was
literally,
a family against family.
Yeah, in DeKalb County, Tennessee.
Nephew against uncle.
Two John Drivers, uncle. Fought for the Union, nephew fought for the Confederacy.
And then that just like our lives.
Oh, my
Which John Driver
guys.
Will you be? The one you feed. Wait, we all have a John Driver. We have two John Drivers living inside of us. The
you
one you feed.
One, you starve
the one who's against slavery is the one that's going to win. Wait.
Wait a second. Well, so you said at lunch, you were like, man, we thought our Thanksgiving dinners were awkward
now. That's true. That's right.
Imagine.
Not awkward. Hey, remember when you shot a cannonball at me? Pass the gravy.
Oh, my goodness. No, it's interesting. So we did not have a podcast last week because...
People assumed, because I think when I put my vaccine, because I did the vaccine selfie. Here's the reason. One, it's kind of a funny thing to do.
Yeah.
And it's like people are doing, and it's very... I even had to post, it's my obligatory. But I also wanted to say, hey, I'm probably a rational person to a lot of people. Who I don't think I have some huge
appreciate
platform.
All the adjectives you did not add to that.
I don't think that a lot of people that I have a huge platform, but I do think there are people out there who go, oh, if Johnny got the vaccine, it's probably safe. Like if somebody's on the fence, I want to be part of someone going, okay, you know what I'm saying?
Sure.
So because of that, I posted it and I had a little arm pain and maybe a headache, but I'm good. And now the hugs are on.
Oh,
John
man.
And I have been
Johnny
hugging.
Kissed
John
a stranger.
And I right now from. During the podcast, we've been hugging this whole time. And I know that may be weird to a lot
we're
of people.
We're speaking into one mic.
Not to us. Listen, this
like
is the kind of...
Like it's an 80s pop ballad right now podcast.
Yeah, like there's a platonic love that John and I have for each other. and we can fully express it now. And I feel good about it.
See, I haven't got my second vaccine, so I'm not down for this.
This is awkward. I'm going to take a step back.
I was supposed to, so this is why we didn't have a podcast, by the way. It wasn't because of Johnny's second vaccine.
Yeah, so people assumed, like I had people go, oh, is that why you didn't do an episode? Ugh. See you next week. But it's actually your fault because you had another plague.
So I was supposed to get my second vaccine.
Yeah.
And then a couple of days before, I had, well, at first I thought it was like acne on the back of my neck and then down the front of my neck.
Which is
like
a bummer when you get acne as an adult.
Yeah, you're like, well,
you think you're past that and you're like, nature's like, nope. Got that big interview? Here's a zit on your nose.
Yeah, there you go.
Right.
Yeah, you thought you were mature. You're still not. And so you thought you should be taking showers. You should have. Anyway,
showers.
So at any rate, I go to my doctor because here's why. It obviously wasn't acne. It wouldn't go away. Then I thought maybe I'd been bitten by like a spider. I found, because it's spring, so the bugs are coming out. I found a little spider in my hand the other night.
Wait. What now?
I found a little spider.
Your hand?
On my hand.
Oh, you said.
In my hand.
I'm digging around in my hand, and these eggs, this egg sac broke open.
It was one of those.
It's like a horror movie.
It was actually, I was watching this show where this guy was in space, and he'd had this like hallucination about ants.
Uh-huh.
And he's down on Earth now in a bar, and all these ants are crawling on this Coke can. He thinks he's freaking out. Turns out they were real ants. The person comes over and starts spraying them. And as I'm watching all these ants, I feel something crawl on my hand.
What you do when you're watching those kind of shows.
I was like, no, surely not. So it was nighttime, so I turn on a light, and sure enough, there's a little spider in my hand. I was like, what? And so I kill it. And then I started thinking, I wonder if some spider, while I was sleeping or whatever, crawled up and bit me on the neck multiple times. Because this thing won't go away. Mm-hmm. Wake up the next morning, I have a swollen lymph node. So now, with no bite, no nothing, I was like, oh my goodness. I told Laura, I said, well, whatever this is, my body's reacting to it. Because now I'm having like swollen lymph nodes, which scared me. You hear that's never good.
Yeah, that's not
good. You never hear like, oh, lymph node, it's no big deal. It's like always a big deal. So I'll go to the nurse practitioner. Mm-hmm. She looks at me, and I was like, well, I may have gotten bitten by spiders. I don't know what it is. I'm supposed to get a vaccine in 2 days. I don't know if I should do it. And she was like, you have shingles. And I was like, what? I'm 42 years old. I mean, Johnny, I'm a picture of health.
That's when you get shingles, though, right?
That's 50, when... I thought.
Oh, okay.
And she goes, well, have you been under any stress lately?
Yeah.
And I just started laughing. I really did. I just started laughing. And,
yeah, but don't you think everybody thinks they've been under stress? Like, everybody would answer yes to that question.
And I'm super ashamed that I didn't manage it better than all the rest of you who didn't get shingles. There's no doubt.
No, I don't think you need to feel any shame. Because that's going to make it worse,
that's
John.
That's my go-to move, though.
Shame is a shingles huge. They just, shingles feed on shame. You know
they,
that.
They call them shambles, I think. Shingles.
Shingles.
So we had this, dude, a fascinating conversation, me and the nurse practitioner. So she sat down.
Because you started telling her your story of stress.
Yeah, I was like, listen, well, you know, let me tell you. And I started telling her about, I thought about the book deadlines.
Yeah.
You know, and there's been some family stuff that's been a little stressful.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, you know, and we're really struggling with, like, even in writing this book on racism and other things, trying to find a biblical response. I was like, but, like, a lot of people in American church, like, we're struggling with, you know,
The politicization of this virus
the
and the masks and the
mindset,
right?
The,
yeah,
you know, this isn't real. You know, and I just kind of shared. You know, she sat down and for about 25 minutes, she began sharing. She was like, "Well, I know what you guys are going through somewhat on our level." She was like, "I've been crying." She goes, "I have patients now who think I work for the government."
Yeah,
like in
that
some
you're in on this whatever
that they're making me diagnose COVID.
Right,
it's all a money
to pump
thing.
The numbers up. Yeah.
They won't now, and I have other patients who are taking themselves off of other medications just randomly because now suddenly we're all, like, we can't be trusted.
Oh, boy.
And she said, I've cried over it. So we, like, had this really interesting cleansing kind of conversation about, we're not the only ones who are, mm-hmm. you know, feeling like that, that people are not thinking clearly, you know. So at any rate, I had to cancel my second vaccination, Johnny, which we need to tell the story how we got it first.
Yeah, and you were ahead of me. And then I ended up getting my second shot before you because you went and got shingles. So I'm almost fully immune now.
Well, yeah,
I can lift a car right above my head.
How many? So you had it on Monday.
It's a few days after you.
So
yeah, I had
2 weeks.
Yeah.
2 weeks.
Well, yeah, but.
Tony, you're not ready yet. You've only been like 4 days.
I shouldn't have been licking those coins.
You shouldn't have been chewing the gum off the railing like Elf.
Oh, no.
So the way we got our first, by the way, really fascinating.
Yeah. again, it has to do with what you were talking about in a lot of ways, right? Yep. Of people not wanting the vaccine. So they had some doses that they were having to in another county.
So we found out in some rural counties, which is a tough word. Tough word.
Rural. If you live, if you can say rural, you probably don't live in a rural county.
Okay, yeah. So we had a connection. My mom knew somebody, and they knew someone at the health department at a rural county.
Yeah.
And so I talked to them on the phone. They're like, look, if you want a vaccine, we open a vial. We got to throw them out. And, mm-hmm. and she said, I said, no, look, I don't want to take some because this was a month and a half ago.
And you said, I'll stand in the alley. You throw them to me. I'll inject myself.
Right. Well, whatever it
takes.
That's how
it works.
I said, I don't want to take some, like a person who's, you know, at that point, now we're all.
Yeah, we're all on the list now.
But back then it was like just the elderly.
It was only a few weeks ago, but yes.
Yeah. It was like 6 weeks ago when you started. I said, I don't want to take some old person's vaccine or needs it or whatever. And, mm-hmm. you know, she goes, we're here calling people all day long, mm-hmm. and we can't get them to come because they're same thing as nurse practitioners. They're convinced that we're part of the conspiracy or whatever. Yeah. And so she said, once we open a vial, this is going to go to waste. So, no, you're not taking anybody. So I drove about an hour and went up and got – I remember I called you. I was like, you'll never guess where I'm going. And the deal was, though, it was like this. She goes, so I won't know till like 2:30, and it's a 45-minute
Yeah, and you got to be willing to like get in the car then.
You got to be here by 3:30.
Yeah.
And so – that for she's and I knew I might be getting those 2 days, so I just started driving that direction.
Yeah,
and my wife and I was like, "You pick up Sadie today, and just in case they call, I'm going to go ahead and be on my way." And we agreed. And sure enough, I was like at Opryland, and they called, so I was already that far down.
And so when you called me, I remember feeling so happy for you, and immediately making it about myself. Well, and I think it almost blindsided you. Were like, oh, yeah, I guess I could try to get you on the list.
No, I didn't know yet what the thing was. I was already thinking that.
Like, but I didn't think that you'd be so selfish, but sure, Johnny.
Yeah, whatever, man. Thanks for being happy for me. I went up there, got it, and got it from a National Guardsman and stuff. So, yeah, it got on the list. And then Melee, I called, and that's when I was like, okay. You were like, dude, you could get me on that list, you know?
Yeah.
And I was like, I don't know, because here's what I know. The person who gave it to me had a... I'm being very vague. Had my mutual contact, they were like, you know, hey, I'm doing this for that person because I trust the people they bring to me or whatever. So I don't really know them. So then, yeah, I basically reached out to that person who was very kind, and I said, look, we're here in Mount Juliet, and especially some people in our church staff and stuff, like we're ready to get this. And if they're giving away ones, and he basically said, give me your list. So I gave him a list, and sure enough, about half of our staff.
You're the gatekeeper, bro.
Yeah, it was like Schindler's List, man.
You did.
Like,
you saved us.
I was, so about half of y'all ended up driving out.
Yeah.
And got it. And so I was the first one to get it. Now I got shingles. I'll be the last one to get the second.
That time between the first and second shot where you're just half-cinated is a weird moment, right?
It feels a lot, because we got Moderna, so it's 4 weeks. It feels...
Like
a long time. Like it feels
you're half-vaxxed. Like, you're just going off half-vaxxed.
Oh, I'm so sick of people half-vaxxing this. Woo!
But yeah, it feels good. And I didn't go down. Like I was, one thing I was kind of, it's so dumb because we talked about my fitness journey, but I have this streak going. I'm trying not to make like an idol of it because I know eventually I'll break the streak or whatever. And there'll be a day where I can't exercise. I'm on the road because I've had long travel days. In this streak.
And you've still done it.
And I've still done it. I found a way. I've pulled over. When I was coming up, this is how bad it was. This is the closest that I would say is like, this was a dangerous thing to do. But I was at like 115 days or whatever, 116 days. And I was coming back from Branson in the snowstorm, which I already should have just stayed in Branson, but I would have been stuck there another 5 days. Yeah. It was when it was snowing here too.
Yeah.
Ice storm. So I was halfway home driving on. Couldn't see the road lines. But I thought, I was a little bit ahead of the storm. It wasn't as bad. And I looked for a Planet Fitness, and I pulled over to get my workout in because I was, like, not going to close otherwise. I was already having to get out and, like, stand. You have to stand a certain amount of times.
Closing your rings.
Close my rings on my Apple Watch.
On your Apple Watch, yeah.
So you have to work out, like, at least 30 minutes of exercise to close, and you have to burn a certain amount of calories above what you're just sitting around calories would be. Like, your body, like, your watch knows your heart rate elevates to a certain level. It counts those calories as, like, extra calories. So you have to burn a certain amount, and it goes up every if you keep pushing it. So that was the closest time to where I was like, this is probably like a controlling, like it's good. It was a good thing because I wanted to not break the streak, but also was like, I should probably stay on the road
yeah,
or get a hotel here after I work out. But I didn't. I did the workout, and then I jumped in the car, and then I power slid back to the house. But anyway, I'm at 215 days as of yesterday.
Wow.
Which is 7 full months without missing a day of working out.
It's crazy.
That's insane. I don't think I worked out 7 months total cumulatively in the 45 years before this year. But all that said, I was just penciling in the second vaccine as this is when the streak, because Curry went down for 48 hours. I know Laura had a tough time too. You get a fever. I'm not going to feel like going to, but my reaction was pretty mild compared to even the friends of ours who were on that list of yours. You know,
some of them got sick.
Jeffrey and Allie, they had chills and fever. But so I didn't get that. But my arm, it was a shark bite for a while. There was definitely it was tough, some tough arm pain. But I was able to get through it. So the streak is alive.
Wow.
But eventually it will break, and I get it. But it's like a thing. It's,
well, that's one of the reasons we didn't do a podcast last week. I said, well, maybe Monday morning. You were like, well, I'm getting the vaccine that day. So
I just kind of knew, like, I probably am going to have a tough reaction. And I just didn't. I was okay.
So I went back to the doctor this morning. I was on 7 days of antivirals. And you know what she told me? Yeah. She said, well, you're because I feel awful still. Like, I keep hitting a wall. I fell asleep in car line yesterday. No, 2 days ago. I fell asleep at Sadie's volleyball practice.
The car was in park, I hope.
No, I was just running right through, picking up kids. So I'm just like, I'm good until I'm not.
Yeah.
Like, in fact, this is hard to say. I tagged out of the sermon this week, which I never.
Right.
I went to prep yesterday or finished prepping, and I couldn't do it. Like, I just couldn't.
Yeah.
And I'm emotional. When I get that way, when I get really fatigued, I get like irritated, angry, everything seems bigger, and then I end up falling asleep in like 30 minutes. So it's like it's all connected. She said, that's all normal. It's just your body fighting this
virus. It's a Bible thing, right? Didn't
Elijah.
Elijah. What's her name? Hang on. It's going to come to me. Not Bathsheba. Hold on. Jezebel.
There you go. Spirit of Jezebel.
Wants to kill him.
Yep.
He freaks out.
Yep.
Then
runs in the desert.
God puts him to sleep, and then like ravens bring him food, right?
No.
And that was enough then?
The angel. Well, the ravens brought Elijah food at the Brook of Kidron.
Okay. These are different stories.
Yeah, that's during the famine.
But that's what I'm saying, though, is like.
That might have been Elisha. Sorry, Bible scholars. This one, yes, he runs in the desert. He takes it. He sits down under a broom.
He's feeling emotional.
Under a broom tree, and he says, just kill me. Like he prays to die.
Right.
Like, I can't take it. And an angel appears, probably a Christophany, certainly a theophany. I mean, it's a, you know, an image of God, and says the voyage is, or the journey is too long for you.
Yeah.
And he touches him and puts him to sleep. Well, he feeds him, touches
so
him.
So there was
sleep.
Food.
Yep.
So you need food and a nap.
He wakes him up. He does it twice, by the way.
And it wasn't like the woman still didn't want to kill him.
She did.
But
didn't change
the nap and the food.
Yeah.
Gives you a little perspective, and that's what you needed.
You got to have it. Well, I still need it. So today she told me, she goes, look, here's what I want you to do. Your shingles are going away. They look good, even though I still have some spots you can see.
They don't look good. Your neck is hideous.
Compared to what they were.
It's terrifying.
So, and they still kind of itch and hurt a little bit. And I'm exhausted. I said, I don't feel good. She goes, that's normal. She goes, here's what I want you to do, though. I don't want you to wait much longer for this second dose of your vaccine.
Right.
So I want you to do, they did some blood work. We're going to double check it. As long as blood work's fine. She wants me to go get the vaccine. She goes, because you're going to feel like crap anyway.
Oh.
So why don't you just go ahead and
get it all,
get
the way.
All out of the way. Like, you need to just like sit and do nothing after that. Like, you're going to be
Which you're not very good at.
I'm not. So I texted the staff, though. This is growth. I called Andrew. I said, all right, I'm going to live out what we're preaching.
Yeah.
Because I know he's under a lot of stress, too. I was like, I'm not trying to pile on. I was like, but here's the deal. I feel like garbage. And so when I come in Sunday morning at 7 a.m., apparently I looked bad Sunday.
Uh-huh.
Did you think I looked bad Sunday? You were
No. Here. Well, again, I'm in the back. I thought you sang fine.
People made comments to my wife about my color.
You looked ashen.
Did I?
You looked a little pale and pasty.
Yeah. Apparently I didn't look good. So, and my voice was weak. I could tell it was weaker than usual. It's always weak, but it was weaker.
I didn't feel that.
So anyway, I was like, I'm going to come in here and look like I've been beat with a baseball bat.
And you're, if you get the vaccine and the shingles and recovery.
Or if I just came in, if I was hitting the wall right now without the vaccine, I don't know. I feel bad.
But that's when you make that about the CERN. You're, brothers and sisters, I am in the valley.
I'll tell you right now, guys.
I come to you as a broken man.
I know what it's like to walk through the valley of the shadow of shingles. anyway. And I said, but you're going to be mad at me. You're like, why didn't you call me? I said, so I'm calling you, and I'm going to submit to community. I'm happy to do this and fine as long as you know. But if you want, if you think, because we could just switch, he could take the next week. He's like, dude, let's just take it off of you. I was like, okay. So I am going to play music, though. Like, I could sit there and play, probably.
Yeah.
But, like, I feel hot right now. Do you feel hot?
No.
Okay. So it's like, okay. Again, it comes and goes a little bit.
But I don't have horrible throbbing pustules on the back of my neck like you.
Do you guys realize the
I'm a normal person.
I'm making right now to do this podcast.
I'm a healthy person.
I completed my rings for 268 days. Or close my rings, whatever you call it.
Here's the thing is, my
fear. I ate cheesecake for 257 days straight.
That's the fear is, if I break the thing, it's like this is my low-carb diet, that if I go off of it, then it'll be like, well, now I'm back at 0 days in a row. Like, the streak has its momentum that keeps me, it feels like it keeps me stable.
Yeah.
But I don't want it to become a thing where it's a controlling thing, and I don't know how to, it's an addiction, but it's a healthy addiction, but is it a good? I'm still like drinking soda and eating not great, but I'm working out, so it's canceling out all my other.
You need a, there's a great question, and I didn't want to say it when you said it earlier, because you know I struggle with this forever.
Right.
But is it okay to have positive life-controlling patterns?
Huh.
Like, we talk about the negative life-controlling patterns.
I don't think it's controlling, because it's just something that I do, but it's like, it's something that it's brought Curry and I closer together, because we work out together.
Yeah.
We hold each other accountable. It's not, are we working out tonight like it used to be? Man, we got to get back in the gym. We have really. Now it's like, what time are we going tonight? Which I feel like is really good.
That's awesome.
We don't, it's not even a discussion. It's just, how are we going to get the workout in today?
The thing is, though, you will have to miss at some point.
I really will.
And when you do, because I did.
It's going to feel like a defeat.
I did keto for a year and a half.
Yeah.
Now I did get to the place where I could have a little bite of sweet or whatever, you know, because I was, you know. So to me, it's all about.
You had one of my chicken things the other day, and I thought that was funny. You were like, I got to try this.
Yeah, but I was off, you know. But I'm back on.
Yeah. You didn't ask for one today.
Probably not a good week to do
it. I would have given you one.
Well, I skipped the bread. Did you notice that? I didn't eat any bread.
You picked out the croutons of your salad.
I picked out the croutons of my salad. And I'm actually here. I told Laura, I was like, I feel so bad. I'm a little ambivalent to food this week. So this is actually not a bad time.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
I'm like, man, I don't even.
If I ever feel ambivalent to food, it's gone. Something's.
Yeah, I know I don't feel well. I'm just like, well. What's the point, really?
Yeah.
So I'm just kind of, because I got on the scale Monday and it wasn't good. I was like, well, if I stay sick and keep eating to make myself feel better, I'm going to gain another, I'm going to add 20 more to the 20 I'm already trying to get off. So anywho, we'll see, Johnny. If I get my blood work back and it's okay, by the time this airs.
Will you still be on antivirals and the vaccine
at
the same time?
Antivirals.
Okay, all right.
She says, so I didn't know this. I was like, well, the shingles look better, but I still feel awful. So, is it possible that it's worked on the outside? But
oh, this is a sermon.
Come on, man. Isn't it right, though?
Sometimes you look better on the outside.
But on the inside.
You're a whitewashed tomb! Gravesonly.com. What was the name of the website? Find a grave.
Findagrave.com.
Yeah. Graves Only is a whole different thing, probably. Creepy, horrible.
Gravesonly.com. Oh, my goodness. Did you know I bought a website? I buy URLs when I start writing books sometimes, or book ideas, just in case. Uh-huh. You know, I bought one called, when I did endorsement, called surviveindoors.com.
Okay.
And the other day I got a thing like, apparently GoDaddy thinks it's worth money.
Yeah, people will.
They will sell it for me for like, I don't know, $1,200 or something.
Yeah, yeah.
I was like, do it,
because
I'm not using that.
Yeah, that's the whole thing. Domain sitting is a thing. My buddy Marty Simpson has bought so many domains, probably 100 over the years.
Yeah.
Then he releases them over time as the price goes up. But he sold a few.
Well, I don't know.
It's weird. Like, if he just has an idea. Like, he bought one a long time ago, topchristiancomedians.com. And it ended up somehow, just through SEO, it's in one of the top. Like, people search for, who are the top Christian comedians? And that one comes up. So he gets all this crazy heat. So he just started making it like a little website for, he put me on it sometimes. He'd rotate it out. But basically, it's a vehicle to promote himself. But he just bought that domain years ago.
Would he put me on it?
He wouldn't. Top.
He's not going to do that. He wants
for a small fee.
Yeah. Yeah. No, well, we will find out.
Yeah.
I could feel awful. Or here's the thing, though.
You're going to be great.
People keep telling me, they're like, I heard one lady told me she'd rather give birth.
No way.
Than have shingles again, because it hurts so bad.
Yeah. That's true. Shingles is like a sliding scale too. It's like it affects people differently.
But I feel bad.
Do you want to think that you just have like a high? I think people love to feel like they have a high pain tolerance.
See,
too.
I don't.
I think maybe it is bad, and I'm just that good.
Well, the nurse practitioner told me, she goes, you might be kind of tough. This is when I first got it. She goes, because you should have been feeling awful the last few weeks. And I was like, well, I felt kind of depressed, which I think for me. Yeah. That's a thing. Like we noticed that when Sadie was little. If she started acting really kind of emotionally off, mm-hmm. you're like, what is the deal, man? And then 2 days later, she has a fever. Like she, you know, it was building up. So I don't know if that's like a driver thing or whatever, but emotionally hits us first, maybe. I don't know. But I like that. I was like, could you tell my wife? Could you write that on one
of
these pads?
Was it only on your neck?
Yeah.
Because like some people get shingles all down around, the whole side. And it's
the trunk.
It's really, really bad.
Yeah. No, mine's
like
only
a rib cage. It's just brutal.
The truth is, I probably have a mild case, but I don't want to skip all this sympathy.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
That's true.
Like, I could get out of chores for like a month here, and it's like, you know, Laura's been great. But I also don't want to.
Men are the worst patients, too.
Well,
that's
because
the thing.
Of man
when
flu.
Sick,
you're going to get man flu.
Oh, it's
flu,
the worst.
Like,
when I get a fever of any, I've had a fever probably 20 times since Curry and I've been in a relationship. And every time I land, and I'm like, I do this thing like where I go, and sometimes I'll make a joke, I'll be like, whenever I get out of this bed, I'm going to live. I'm going to make some changes. Like, I get so existential about everything. You know? Everything's just huge. I get vertigo when I get a fever. Like, the room spins and it's not good.
I think she knows, though. I'm sick. Like, I took Sadie to practice, and she was going to meet with some of the ladies from her small group. And so she stopped by. I was on the way.
Yeah.
And I had literally leaned my seat back, taken Sadie's hoodie, and made a pillow. And I was, I was gone.
Yeah.
I had the heated seat turned on, and I was gone. And she opened the door, because it's tinted windows. She couldn't tell. And I was like, hey! She was like, were you asleep? I was like, yeah. She's like, I'm sorry I didn't see you. I wouldn't have woke you up. But that's when I was like, yeah. She's like, you're not doing okay.
Yeah.
Like, I just don't go. I'm the kind of guy who's sure, if I stop long enough.
Right.
Thanksgiving Day or whatever, I could fall asleep during a game or a Sunday afternoon.
Right.
I'm not the guy that just falls asleep at practice or in the car a lot, you know. So I think she's
But
told
you are
me.
Getting older. That's, you know, naps are coming for us. The napping season.
When is napping season, Johnny?
It's upon us.
I don't know. We'll see. We'll see how I feel.
Well, but, I think it'll be good. Again, it's interesting to me. A lot of the older people I know who've, like your mom, was nothing, right? The second dose?
Yeah,
she's fine. Just like some arm pain, maybe? Not even that.
Just arm pain.
And so, yeah, so some of the people are like, you're in the danger group. They're like, whatever. And then you see these young people, they're like, it was like I got hit by a train.
Oh, yeah. It really has been the older people seem to have, maybe, hey, if I got shingles, maybe I fall now in the older person category. Man. It's going to be like, my body thinks I'm 65 or whatever, which is exactly what you want.
Yeah, chronologically. There is a thing. I have a scale now that's one of these that does like your body composition too. I don't know how it does it. You stand on it with wet feet or whatever, damp feet, and it does I don't know what it's doing. Wow. It could just be voodoo, but it's, here's your body fat percentage, here's your whatever. Huh. But one of the things it does is bone density, and then another one is that I had no idea, and I have no idea how I figured it. It's your, what is it called? Your biometric age. So your true age.
Oh, wow.
And I was like, well, I've been working out, whatever.
Oh, no.
51.
Really?
Yeah. So I was like, I can only imagine what I was when I was like 315 pounds.
Well,
to be like, you're 82, sir.
That's only 6 years older than you are now. I want to come over and use your scale.
Yeah, it's really cool. And it actually wasn't a bunch of money. It's cool. But it connects to an app. So it Bluetooths to your phone. So you keep all the results. And it has like a chart. It's pretty cool.
I don't know if I want to know.
I like gadgets. That's the thing. I'm not like even with a car, I got a different car now. And it's like, I'm not a car guy, but I'm a gizmo guy.
Yeah.
And this car has all the gizmos. So it's like I'm driving inside of a gizmo. So I love that. Technology is what draws me to things. I'm like, you mean this thing will, I can do, hit a button and it'll drive itself? Keep me in the lane? I'm on board. Like, I don't care what it looks like if it will do the things I want to do and like Apple CarPlay and all the other things, you know. I want to go places inside of a human jukebox that has all songs that have ever been recorded. And that's what I have now. So that's all I care about. So my scale, Bluetooth, I got everything. All my gizmos are working.
So
that's the thing. We don't really have happiness anymore in modern culture. We just, Louis C.K. said this. He said, we just are kind of satisfied with our devices and then we die. that's all we can hope for now.
Yeah, we were talking before we came on about, you know, there was a show years ago on NBC called Revolution.
Yeah.
That was about, like, these little microscopic invisible nanobots that got released, and they somehow stopped all electricity, even like car batteries. They stopped every all electricity. And so it was like this fascinating dystopian
Yeah.
What life looks like without electricity kind of thing, you know. And for, you know, this like 5 years later or whatever people live. So like, you know, you have the guy who was an accountant, you know, who's now like the warlord, you know, it's always that, you know, that kind of thing. And I want to, what if we wrote a show, Johnny? What would really happen? And I want to run it right and not years ahead, like right now, if social media, someone found a way to get rid of all social media.
Yeah.
Like what, like who's famous now? What would happen to their careers? Because people are famous in some ways for just being famous.
Right. Well, even our communication and some people even get news. Like I get a lot of my news from Twitter.
Yeah.
Because you'll see something trending. You'll be like, why is that trending? Why is that name trending? And it'll be some story. And then you won't see it on the news till later that night.
Yeah.
Like it's quicker. So sometimes it's wrong. That's kind of the danger of Twitter is like people want to be first.
Right.
So they'll whatever. Tiger Woods is dead. Well, no, he's not. His car went down a ravine. But like there were people on Twitter who were saying like Tiger's dead. So they just want to be first.
Yep.
So that would definitely go away, which is probably way better for society. Obviously, we're on the side of we're on social media. We use social media. We hate social media. I think most people are there. We're like, this is the worst. And we cannot live a normal life without it anymore. We're totally undetractable.
Do you know what I look at on social media?
What do you look at?
What you and Laura send me links to.
Yeah.
I have not, and occasionally again I will get on, I just don't have an.
You think you're better than us, is what you're saying.
I don't think I am.
Maybe that's why you have shingles, John. Can you draw the timeline of when you got off social media?
Oh, my goodness.
And when you got
I can't imagine how big the shingles would be if I wouldn't have got off social media. That's the issue.
But to your point, yes, I know we would freak out, and here's how I can prove it. Because remember, we used to think, like, what about a biological terror attack? What if they blah, blah, blah? And then these cyber attacks, they started like what happened in South Korea and what, you know, there was a, or North Korea where Sony was, you remember the whole thing where they were saying like, if you don't, if you produce this film, because it made Kim Jong-un look in a negative light, they were like, but all these threats. It was like, there's going to be a world war over a Seth Rogen movie. What a weird time we live in. But basically what I think with cyber attacks and how I know that they could be real and would be way more catastrophic. Think about the AT&T thing that happened on Christmas Day, just in Nashville and the surrounding counties. It was probably a 100-mile radius where we did not have internet or phone service for 3 days.
Mm-hmm.
Some people more than that. It was, I won't say it was crippling. It was a very uncomfortable, awkward thing to muddle through.
Yeah.
And entire industries were affected. And probably there was a 2-3 week catch-up period just from those 3 days for a lot of people. Not just like, oh, I didn't get my news, or I thought conspiracy weird things. It was like business did not get done. Money did not exchange.
There is a big economic impact, there's no doubt.
So I have no doubt that any tiny thing like that that's like a butterfly effect, we're so ingrained now in technology that it's like there's no going back.
Mm-hmm.
It would just strip things down to like, then you have to be like, do I even like this person? I liked their profile. Like you wouldn't even know who you're talking to.
Yeah, I don't.
I like their filters.
I wonder if maybe then the concept is you take out, maybe you take out cell phones and social media. I don't know. That might be too much. Like I
because then you're talking about emergency services and stuff. Like that's crazy. Because they were telling people during the AT&T thing in Nashville, which if you didn't know, there's a Christmas Day bombing. It made national news.
Yeah.
But that was in front of an AT&T hub, which caused AT&T service, meaning internet and phone service. And then there's other sub towers. So even other services lost their ability to communicate. So for at least 72 hours is what I could best guess it on. And so, so that's what happened. But you had people who could not communicate. So they were telling us not to, your point though, they were telling us not to call 911. You couldn't get 911. They were saying, call this number locally if you have an emergency. So you wouldn't want cell phones. That's really dystopian.
Yeah.
But if you just wanted to do some good, you're saying like it happens and we end up the better for it. Is that your goal in the screenplay? Humanity,
no, comedy.
Humanity shakes itself and we're like, oh, we're being dumb and we're build a whole phony world that's not real. And now we get to see who's really whatever.
I think it's a comedy.
Okay.
Yeah, I think it's a comedy that does reveal those things. Yeah. Listen,
so far I'm terrified by all of this.
I don't know if it makes a better world or not. I just...
I think this is the shingles talking.
My world's better.
Yeah.
Like, I know that's crazy.
But we're going to put this episode out on social media follows from it. You see what I'm saying? Like, it's inextractable.
I don't know, though. Here's the thing. I don't know if I use this podcast to generate social media, because again, I'm a bad follower.
No, I don't mean
generate,
but it's how we get the word out in a lot of ways. Like in the old days, if we wanted to have a radio show, this was basically what a podcast is. We would have to have a guy in a suit who would give us that platform,
right?
And he would put us on his 50,000-watt station. We'd start in some small town somewhere, and then we'd grow our. Oh, we're getting a lot of drive time listens. We're going to put you to the 3 o'clock.
Yeah.
And then you'd move your way up. Then you'd move to Tulsa to get on the bigger station. Now it's just like any dude with a MacBook can be like, these are my views. And you can just be.
Yeah.
Which is probably why information matters less, because there's so much. And it's so conflicting. So you just find the people that agree with you on your weird theory, which is what we have, basically. If you listen to us this long, it's because you either agree or you disagree, and you also think we're kind of fun to disagree with.
You know, I've had now multiple people stop me, I think three, who say they listen, but they've never rated us, but they listen every week religiously.
Well, that's just sad.
But they're giving me like 5 stars in person.
Oh, okay. Well, that's okay.
It's like, hey, we
think you're a 5-star person, but I can't be clicking on things.
I can't. Who has got time for
that? I can
that?
Click play and I can click download, but that's it. That's all you get.
And I always go, man, it means a lot that you listen. Like, it really, really does. But you just, you do wonder, I don't know. You think a lot more about why they listen than I do. I'm just like, I don't know. It's like, it is what it is in that respect. I actually think that if I was better at social media, a lot more people would listen. That is the part that daggers me.
Uh-huh.
So I was telling you, I don't know, this sounds very, there's a lot of hubris in what I'm going to say here.
This is, I can't wait for this. Goodness.
I don't mean for there to be. But there's something to be said in the David story about the fact that the armor didn't fit him.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that's true of all of David's life, because later in life, David had armor.
Yeah.
Okay. But for that moment in his life, Saul's armor just didn't fit David for what his mission was in that moment.
Are you David in this analogy?
No.
Are you the armor? What's
happening?
I think
all of us are David. There's some time in life, I think I'm in a part of life where for right now, if social media is what is necessary in order to be really, I guess, connected to a message or to people, I can't. Like,
it's ill-fitting.
You're
a misfit.
I can do some things on it, but like, I just don't, that's just not, I can't. I've tried it. I've tried so hard. My wife's not that way.
Mm-hmm.
She is a better person, is the main reason. She actually listens to the needs of people on social media and connects all the dots and keeps up with people. I'm just not, I don't do that well.
Yeah.
Like, I end up getting into the comparison game on social media.
Or you're wondering what their intention, what do they really mean?
Right.
What are the blah, blah, blah. Yeah.
I hate small talk, as you know.
Yeah.
Now, I actually had this, I told Matt this, and his, you know, just one of my dearest friends, and he's my community group leader. And, you know, I told Matt, I said, you know, Matt, I figured out, I don't hate small talk. I don't do small talk well with people I'm not deeply connected with.
Yeah.
I could do small talk with people like you or Matt all day long.
Right, because it may be going somewhere. Or you want to know the minutiae of their life if you also care about the big things
right.
in their life.
We've already gone to the other places, I'm cool with this. So, we can watch a game. I don't need to talk about transubstantiation.
Yeah.
Because I already know your viewpoint on that, Johnny.
Right. Which, I am...
Which is that you believe that the cracker becomes the actual body of Jesus.
100%.
Or the bread, sorry. But like, social media feels like one big shallow conversation to me a lot. Or a bunch of people who don't want to be shallow, but I don't know them.
Yeah.
So that's the thing. I deeply connect with deep conversations with people that I know. It's hard for me to deeply connect with someone if they haven't been vulnerable or haven't seen the other side. So anyway.
To me, social media is, I see a bunch of people like, searching for their tribe and then excluding people who are not in their tribe. That's what memes kind of are.
Yeah.
Hey, you get this inside thing. And then it's usually pointing out a flaw in another tribe.
Yeah.
A lot of times. You saw it a lot. You see it a lot with political memes. It's always, there's a butt of a joke. And I get, comedy is powerful because of that. And that's okay. And it has a power to unite. And there's times when things can be funny and they're just funny. But I do see a lot of like, hey, you're with me, right? And if you're not, like, you can literally just hide that person in your feed. We're still friends, but I won't see your stuff anymore. I've done that with dozens of people.
Yeah.
Then you forget. You're like, I haven't even seen that person's post on. You're like, oh, I snoozed them back in the...
Right. The beginning of the pandemic.
Or November when
you
it was election.
You want to snooze them in the middle of a pandemic?
Sorry. In the middle. Please tell me we're not still in the middle. And we're in the middle of this podcast. I think we're near the end of the podcast.
Hope you didn't snooze us.
Yeah.
No, but you're right.
The fourth wave. Here comes the fourth wave of the podcast. Look out, guys. You should have been more careful.
That's funny. No, I think you're right, but I just don't think I'm made. I'm okay. I'm not made to be deeply connected
but
4,000 people.
Yeah, you're not. And nobody really is. And that's the thing. And we're not. We're probably more isolated. I feel like we beat that drum many times about social media about how it's really an isolating experience and it's kind of a faux version of connection. But like you said, to your point, and Laura's experience, I think some people do. My wife, she's on groups for Rett syndrome. She cares. She's a caregiver for someone who has Rett syndrome, right, which is this rare genetic disorder. And so Curry, a lot of her life is providing support and encouragement to other people who are caregivers or who are parents. And she does research and she posts things like Rett syndrome embarrassment. She'll post something every day. That's her thing. And she uses it's a positive influence in her life. She wants to be like this light. And because of that, she gets involved. And so she knows parents all over the world. She knows a family in London who is a Rett parent. And they consider Curry a friend. That would never have happened without social media.
Yep.
So you can't say it's all bad. It's definitely not all bad.
No, it's inanimate.
It's that thing
it's
of,
what you do
yeah,
with
it's
it.
Like, what else? What else is happening in the background, though, that is frustrating to Curry about social media, where she's like, can you believe what so-and-so said today? But the trade-off is I heard from the lady in London. You know, it's like, is it worth the, and I don't know the answer.
Have you watched The Food That Built America on History Channel?
I have not.
Johnny, unbelievable.
Yeah?
Unbelievable. But, like, the advent of fast food is very similar to me. Fast food actually brought about a quality control. Mm-hmm. Like they did a whole thing in the history of hot dogs, Nathan's hot dogs, and why people in the early 1900s, hot dogs were considered to be, because they could have anything in them, rat meat, whatever.
Right.
They were the extras. It was coming out of Upton Sinclair's The Jungle type time where you're looking at industrialization, you're looking at these horrible working conditions, and animals are falling into the, like, ground beef or ground meat was a poor person's thing. It's when you took all the extra whatever's left after you gave the real meat away and you made this extra whatever so people didn't eat it. So hot dogs were like, no one eat them.
Yeah.
And so this guy had to begin, that's where he came up with the idea of what if we made him kosher? It was like, that was one of the first time non-Jewish people really...
What if you made it with good meat? What if you made it with,
went for the idea of kosher is because he had to set hot dogs apart in the American mindset. Well, that was one of the first times you had this sort of conveyor belt mentality of everything's going to have the same quality. Well, that was actually, and by the way, I did not know this. Did you know that White Castle came before? White Castle was the original hamburger.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Like White Castle came before McDonald's.
All right.
So
okay.
Like, I think of White Castle as like this, but sliders were before real big hamburgers. And at first they were sausage balls, and a guy was complaining of how long they were taking to cook, and the guy got mad and said, fine, and he pushed
it down into a square patty.
And he began to realize how much faster that the – well, it was round, theirs was at first, how much faster because it was flatter and it was more tasty because, you know, it's – anyway, such a fascinating thing.
Oh, yeah.
And so – but it's all good because now – you can go to a White Castle anywhere in America.
Always the same.
And it's going to be the same, which was not the way it always was. That brought a quality and a safety. People don't think about that. Foodborne illness was a major, major issue, especially in urban areas. People were dying from foodborne illness all the time.
I can't wait to see how you tie this to social media.
Well, the point is, what started off to bring something really good,
right,
fast forward 60 years,
fast food's killing
us all.
And
we're all dying of cholesterol.
So double cheeseburgers are $1.
Right.
And a salad, $7.
And you've forgotten what was so good about it.
Yeah.
You know, in some ways, it's still good that I know I can go to McDonald's in theory, and I'm going to get the same quality every time.
God, McDonald's is so good.
It is very good. The French fries are unbelievable. Did you see, by the way, that Arby's is offering crinkle cut fries right as I start back on keto? And crinkle cut, out of all the things on keto, I can resist. You saw I could resist that bread today. Mm-hmm. Crinkle cut get me. Like they
I like
get
a curly
me.
Fry. Crinkle cut.
I can do a curly.
You know what? I don't think anybody likes big old steak fries. They're just stalky and starchy. It's like you're eating a baked potato.
You know what I like on steak fries? Are you ready for this?
If A1.
If they really came with like a steak.
Yeah.
And the steak juice got into the fries. And they got them all soggy. I'll eat that.
A soggy.
Like a steak juice flavored steak fry.
That's blood, John.
I'm okay with that. I order them a little on the rare side.
Can I get a cup of blood to dunk this?
But that's my point. Like, I think you could just forget over time.
Yeah.
I think social media has a lot of good things. I need to be reminded of that. I just think for a lot of us, we end up just getting fat like McDonald's. We end up being unhealthy on it because it's over time.
Right.
You know, I don't know. I don't know, guys. I don't want to stop it, and I want you to still follow us.
Yeah.
That's the weird thing.
We're the good thing about social media. Everyone else is bad. We're the good thing.
Here's what I know. Social media brings awareness, and awareness is always – I heard this on some coaches, guys I'm writing for the other day, some amazing counseling people, and he said, you got to remember – that he said information is not transformation, and he had like five different ways of saying that.
Yeah,
but like getting on the scale
right
is a really, really big step.
Yes,
and it's so important.
But I did that for years, and I was like, well, I'm not doing anything with this.
Yeah, I debated whether to get on the scale this week.
This is the level that I hate myself.
It really
this
is
the number that I know to think in my day constantly, like five times a day. Go,
oh,
that today. Yeah. All right, that means I'm garbage.
Yep, and if you don't. You got to realize, though, you have to get on the scale. Or you can't measure.
Right.
Was Laura say, what you measure, you can manage to some extent.
Mm.
So if you don't measure, but there are times I don't want to measure.
Right.
Because I know I can't manage. Like, so I don't know. The point being aware of things through social media, that's really, really good. Even taking action on social media is really good. But I just think there's limitations.
Yeah.
There's just limitations to what you can really, like world change happens with people. It's got to be with people. You're going to have to go sometimes.
Yeah.
You have to talk to
them. It's not just a clicking retweet.
Right. Now, I don't want people to give
to
things. I think that's important. I think it is a great tool for that. So I don't know. But a world without it, Johnny, what if we took it away? What if
we had a world without it and we did okay? We were okay, right?
Well, we didn't know.
Has it made the world better?
What? When were we without it?
The 80s and 90s.
But we didn't know we were without it.
That's what I mean. But I'm saying, do you think the world is better? Do you think, let's say the pandemic, do you think the pandemic without social media would have been less politicized? 100%.
Yeah, I agree.
Because everybody's opinion would not have been like right at your fingertips.
Yeah. Misinformation trumped information on this one.
Yeah. Complete disinformation on purpose in some cases.
Yeah. But that being said, there were a lot of people that maybe stayed connected. The isolation may have been better.
What about scientists who stayed in touch and they worked on the vaccine things? Was that easier to manage because of like Zoom calls and things like that? Who knows?
Well, again, do you take out those parts of technology that aren't social media driven, but
John,
the connectivity?
No.
You know? Here's what I know. For a church, it was really important that we started live stream and YouTube and those things. We kept a lot of people connected that way. Now, they got tired of it.
Right.
But imagine if you had nothing. Guys, I don't know. The social experiment. This is why it's an experiment. We're changing all the controls and the outcomes right now. So what if a guy moved here from up north to go to grad school?
Right.
His grandfather died. And as he did, social media went away. Huh? You know what? We've not heard from the listeners yet on Jerry Acting. We heard originally. I'm still looking for that person out there, that producer.
We
that's
need,
going.
A, we
I
need an angel investor, don't we?
Someone to go, I want you guys to write me a pilot.
Yeah.
We could write it ourselves, but why would we?
Mm-mm.
We don't have time for that. I got shingles for crying out loud. Time for that. But I'd write the pilot. I don't know.
Mm-mm.
You're the one that's been complaining you don't have enough work right now. Dude, write the pilot. I'll send you the template.
I'm not complaining. I've settled in now. I'm good.
I'm good. I'm closing my rings every night.
I'm a house husband.
Well, hey, we are excited, Johnny, that we announced this week when we're lifting restrictions at church.
Right.
Yep. Coming up in about 2 weeks, two or 3 weeks.
Which is like anything else. Their church would be like, about time. And somebody's like, it's way too soon. You're going to kill everybody. Like, there's no good way. You just have to go, all right, the vaccines are readily available.
Yeah.
Let's go about, 6 weeks from there. Right?
Well, that was our thing. It was we knew in Tennessee by April 5th, everyone should have had access. And they did. So we're now going off of, that means by April 5th.
Yeah.
So in theory, most people already had the first vaccine before then. We certainly did. So anybody who wanted to get it could find it. And so what we figured is, hey, yeah, instead of going, we could go mid-May, but it's probably safe. And so what we said is, hey, we're going to lift restrictions on May 2nd. We're going to continue to have them in the children's department, mm-hmm. simply because they're the only unvaccinated or unvaccinatable right now population, though they're not getting sick, just until we get more data, and because our school system's still doing that.
And because the hazmat suits are cheaper in those sizes.
They are. Oh, my God. A lot less fabric.
Yeah, you can get them by the, yeah. just buy them by the gross.
And so, for the moment, we'll keep some of that downstairs. And then, but we did tell people, if you're not comfortable, you're still waiting on your second vaccine, yeah. or you're still waiting for your 2 weeks after your vaccine, hey, you might stay home a couple more weeks. That's fine. You know, so we left it open to people, but we just feel like nobody can come and endanger anybody else. That was always our thing. We had no options.
Mm-hmm.
So right now, if people want to be safe, if they consider the vaccine to be safe,
yeah.
then they can. And the numbers are going up. You know that.
Yeah.
But they're going up among
unvaccinated people.
Right.
Well, I'm ready to just grab the first shot. I'm just going to hug. I'm going to lick them on the forehead.
Do it.
Don't even care.
And then until you get some new thing.
Right. A new,
right.
different. Shingles, maybe.
When they trace it back, you're patient zero. We think it happened when a guy licked a stranger's forehead in Nashville in 2021. Yeah.
What blood cult was he a part
Somehow,
of?
Somehow we traced
well,
it.
Well, let me tell you.
It was in a lab. No, it was Johnny. Yeah, that's funny. Hey, guys, thank you for hanging out with us today. And again, sorry about last week. I'm just mortal. You know what I'm saying? Did the best I could.
He's just a man.
I'm just a man. Barely,
if that.
Barely that, yeah, as I'll say. But you can go and check out our website.
It's talkaboutthatpodcast.com. You see all the archived episodes.
Oh, it's great.
Over 150 plus.
Oh, my goodness.
Too many. Really.
We keep bringing the content directly.
All you got to do is hit play, y'all.
That's right.
We've done the work for you.
And listen, if you do listen every week and you're not subscribed, that would actually be really helpful to us. The more subscribers
Please
we
subscribe
have.
Subscribe and share. Share with a friend.
If you haven't left us a review, and okay. But do me a favor. You go get two of your friends to listen to the podcast this week.
Yeah.
Johnny, if every one of our listeners got two other people to do it, we would more than double in size in 1 week. And if every one of them gave $1,
mm-hmm.
wait, that was always our old pastor thing. You know, yeah. You know, guys, if we get 1,000 kids in here today.
Everybody gave $1.
Everybody gave $1,000.
Then you realize kids don't give.
You know, yeah, they don't give. They just take.
No,
I'm just kidding. But hey, yeah, go check it out. You can go to our Patreon account as well. If you'd
oh,
like
that's
to.
Right. Kick in a few shekels if you'd like. Help us reach more people. We use that for marketing and other things. So
yeah. Coming out of the pandemic, we have some new things that we're working on.
And, we're in the middle, John.
Sorry,
the
no, no, we're on the back end of this. Yeah.
Roller coaster ride.
Yeah,
it is a roller coaster. When you look at that graph, you're like, wait. Your hands go up. Yay!
I don't ever remember.
Yeah. You never said we?
You know what? There were positives. I think we need to do an episode on the positives of the pandemic. There were some positives.
We should do that.
Yeah. And being sensitive to people's loss and all those things. I just mean for the
positives
best,
of perspective and et cetera.
Yeah, the things that we slowed down.
Ingenuity that came from it.
Like you're working out every day. You know what I'm saying?
Working out every day. Yeah. Not working. Working out.
I'm working out my salvation with fear and trembling
and shingles.
A lot of things there. So, but yeah, interesting take.
We could do that.
Yeah,
I'm sure you can send in ideas. Send us what you think. What did you get that was good?
Yeah,
that you're like, I didn't think this would happen. It's a good thing. I don't want to be that guy that's like lemonade from lemons. But if you do find a lemonade from lemons, send it in. We'll put it on the show.
Yeah. Maybe the best thing ever happened is you listen to talk about that.
When life hands me lemons, I make lemonade, and then I wait for life to hand me gators and power. Because
you're going to make Gatorade and Powerade.
Thank you, John.
There you go. Guys, I'm here. I'm here to help interpret.
Yeah. If you have to explain it, it's always, those are the best kind of jokes.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, that was a little dad jokey. I'm
oh,
proud
stop
of you.
It.
Welcome
Get
to my
here.
World.
No, I
project You've become
your,
a humorist.
Project your conclusion that that was a dad joke.
Hey, guys, thanks for listening. We'll see you next week on
Talk About That.
Hello, my name's Rachel Carmen, and I want to invite you to come over and listen to my podcast. It's called Real Refreshment. For years and years as a young mother, I chased after the wind, thinking that the world could offer me the refreshment I longed for. But it was only when I discovered it in the person of Jesus Christ that I really found refreshment. Come on over and join me as we dig into Bible study. I'll see you there.